Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. It is the Tuesday of WrestleMania week. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast talking about NXT. I'm Glenn Rubenstein here with George Hermosa and John Jordan. Tonight, Issa is in Philadelphia or on her way. And talk about the go-home NXT before Stand and Deliver. George, you excited? You excited about everything we saw tonight?
1,000%. It is the road to WrestleMania. I got my WrestleMania 22 jersey that I found somewhere. I don't even know where I got it from. Probably some swap meet or something. But yeah, I'm pretty much set work aside. Don't have many commitments this week because it is the road to WrestleMania. I sound like a shill. But either way, this is where all the shows are on full blast. So I'm all for it.
Nice. John, you sir. Parked, you hyped?
I am pumped. It is Tuesday. I'm already tired. I don't know what that says about how I'll fare this week, but ready to roll. Lots of news already. Lots of fun things ahead. So many things scheduled. I was looking at the schedule for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it's like, whew, I don't know when I'll sleep, but this is a great time of year. Lots of fun. And I just got fired up seeing that magazine, George, because that's actually one that I remember having.
You guys ever noticed that Papa Shango and Godfather got a lot of the same tattoos?
No.
Oh, interesting.
That's awkward. Yeah, I know. Yeah, weird coincidence. Yeah. They must know each other.
Yeah. So every NXT fan knows that forget Cody Rhodes and his story. The real high point of Mania weekend is NXT Stand and Deliver happening like at noon or 11:30 a.m. Eastern.
I'm in LA, so it's at 9 a.m. for me. Yeah. A 9 a.m. wrestling show is so awkward.
So weird. But I'm going to wake up. I'm going to have me some breakfast and watch Stand and Deliver. I'm excited about it. We're going to walk through our predictions for the card at the end of our recap tonight. So stay tuned for that. We're going to talk about everything that happened tonight. Some new matches being made for Stand and Deliver. It's a stacked show. But before we get into that, guys, what's going on in the news?
There's some news out there that I'm not too familiar with because I'm not into the stock market. I do own like one stock of WWE when announced TKO, but apparently TKO parent company Endeavor being taken private by investment firm. Now, just to be clear, TKO is still going to be public, so you can still own stock in TKO, but Endeavor is going to be taken private. What that means... I don't know, but it is newsworthy as far as kind of maybe it might be a sign of things to come as far as maybe they're going to see how that goes. And maybe someday down the road, TKO might be a private company, but you know, again, it affects it, but it doesn't affect it. Not anything in the immediate future, but again, forever's a long time. So we'll see how that goes.
It's stock is up 5% today. TKO down though, about 10% and change from its all-time high still.
Some other big companies that Silver Lake Holdings has in their fold are the AMC movie theater chain, Skype, Airbnb, and several others. So good company. It's a good company to be in, no pun intended.
Yeah, absolutely. What else is going on?
As far as there are a lot of Ilya Dragunov rumors going on. We saw a little bit of him in some backstage segments, but we're going to talk about it in a little bit. But they're saying that Ilya Dragunov might be main roster bound sometime soon. He's been in NXT pretty much for like around 5 years now. Obviously, he had a very prominent role in NXT UK just a few years ago. Yeah. Came on over to NXT, has been obviously NXT champion. He's had some wars. He's done some great stuff with Carmelo Hayes, you know, Trick Williams. We saw a lot of good things now, but obviously he's main roster ready. That's not the issue. The issue is not whether or not he's ready for the main roster. The issue is maybe finding a role for him on the main roster. Some are saying that maybe he might have a similar role to a Gunther, which I wouldn't be a fan of, because why would we want to see someone else in the Gunther role when we already have Gunther on the main roster? So a lot of talk. They're saying that he might show up as soon as he loses the NXT title, whether that's going to be this weekend or maybe someday, sometime down the road. I'll get into that, into the predictions, but looks like we might see Ilya Dragunov in the main roster sometime, maybe in the next 6 months, I predict.
Mm. Maybe he can start a new faction that has Ketch in the name.
You don't have enough of those. I see this as a good thing, in that in the past, we've seen so many NXT call-ups in previous regimes that got up to the main roster, and then there just wasn't anything for them. So maybe the taking of some more time, for instance, with the Bron Breakker, with the Carmelo Hayes, we've made assumptions that they lose the title, they're coming up. It hasn't happened, right? We know Bron's signed with SmackDown, but he's still the NXT Tag Team Champion, so he's here. It's a slower process, and that's probably a good thing. Listen, there's a wealth of talent in this company at all levels, on all brands. So taking your time and plotting it out as far as creative goes, that's the way to go. You're totally right, George. It's not a matter of if he's ready in the ring or not at all. I think anybody that's bringing up Ilya Dragunov in the same breath as Gunther probably just wants to see those guys go at it again.
Yeah.
It's crazy because we're kind of going on 10-year anniversary since this is kind of becoming a big thing. The Raw after Mania has been a big thing for a while, maybe close to 20 years. But with we're just surpassed the 10-year anniversary of the WWE Network. That was kind of when we started seeing a lot of these NXT guys and girls coming up to the main roster. Obviously, we saw Paige just approximately 10 years ago show up the Raw after Mania 30. Then year after year, we saw more and more. So we're going to see maybe, you know, something happen this upcoming Raw, this upcoming Monday Night Raw. The last couple of years has been a little underwhelming as far as the Raw after Mania, but now we have a completely new regime. We've kind of had semi-new regime, but now we have a completely new regime this upcoming Mania, this upcoming Raw after Mania. So we'll see if that has anything to do with some of the greatness that we used to see on the Raw after Mania, maybe including Ilya Dragunov.
I mean, if Roman and the Bloodline take a little break after Mania, regardless of the outcome, think of all that room for additional story. You could fit two matches inside the length of Roman's entrance alone. Yeah. You know, it's an exciting time. It will truly be a new day.
Hey, that's five matches of the new WWE Speed, another show that we're all going to have to keep up with very soon here.
I mean, is anyone really going to keep up with that?
No, I'm tapped out.
I mean, 3 minutes, guys. Yeah. Come on, guys. It's 3 minutes.
The mixed match challenge was a lot of fun the first season. And then it was just like, I don't have the energy to keep watching this. The first season was a lot of fun.
It's 3 minutes. Just watch it when you're in the drive-thru at McDonald's.
But what about the story? See, here's the thing. I don't watch wrestling for the wrestling. I watch wrestling for the stories.
I've caught up on stories. It's about time in the day now for me, right? I was gone all last week. I was on a family vacation. I don't know how I've gotten caught up so quickly. Maybe that's because I haven't been sleeping, but with documentaries, with other content, with shows I missed, highlights, podcasts, and so on and so forth. I'm finally there. I think I know what's going on again. But add another one to the fold. I don't know if I can do that. Even 3 minutes.
Speaking of documentaries, the Bray Wyatt documentary is now available on Peacock.
Yeah, I took it in. I stayed up late last night here. I wanted to watch it yesterday. I've been looking forward to that. I was on with Justin and Jack not too long ago after Raw. And the question when it was announced, and the question was, is this too soon? I commented then that I didn't think it was too soon, as long as the family was ready for it and happy with it and gave their blessing. And obviously they did. I don't want to spoil anything for you, Glenn. I know you haven't seen it yet, but I thought it was wonderfully done. Very, difficult to get through at the end. Obviously, there's no spoiler there. Touching every time, especially with family members. But to see what the what he had planned and where this story was going to go, it's unfortunate. You know, he's no longer with us. Obviously, so sad. And that what ride he was getting ready to take us on. It's great to see some tributes come out. I know that we put a story up on Wrestling Inc. today around a tweet that John Cena put out that I'll share real quick. He said, Wyndham Rotunda was many things to this world, a son, father, brother, and artist. And what will forever remain with us is his passion. His art in every creative sense will be an eternal reminder to us of how truly incredible he was. And that speaks to that legacy, an industry changing creative mind. And Cena shared a clip of, as it pertains to the Firefly Funhouse as they were getting ready for it, which is pretty funny. It's from the documentary and it's out there on Twitter right now. It's linked in the story at Wrestling Inc. And I couldn't say enough great things about the documentary. It's a must see for any fan.
And
it was so fascinating seeing a lot of never before seen footage, whether it's from the Firefly Funhouse, whether it's a lot of the stuff that we saw on FCW, NXT, the creation of the Bray Wyatt character. I got no idea how he came up with the Bray Wyatt name until watching the documentary. Apparently, he had a friend named Bray White. Little things like that. But yes, everything that John just said as far as touching, heartwarming, sad, uplifting in some ways as well, kind of seeing how much of a mentor he was to his younger brother and sister as well. But yeah, it's definitely a must watch, obviously, and I can't say enough great things about it.
No, I look forward to checking it out. I just have to like emotionally brace myself.
Yeah,
I think. Anything else before we dive into NXT?
I know Shawn Michaels was on an interview saying, I think he was on a Busted Open Radio saying how he is captivated, but just how all in Tony D'Angelo is on his character. Just kind of they're saying that he wouldn't be surprised he wouldn't be surprised HBK if like Hollywood comes in and snatches him up to like for some mafia movies, or if Scorsese comes in. You know, I highly doubt that's going to happen. But
hey, since day one, Tony D'Angelo has been all in the character, and since day one, the Wrestling Inc. NXT podcast has been all in on Tony D'Angelo.
Do you guys think, though, he's like a little too all in some ways, or no?
I mean, he's not like ordering hits on people and running like a protection racket or anything.
Well, if he was
in real life,
if he was, you wouldn't want to mention it, Glenn. No, you can't.
True.
Defy the
character, the fictional character of Tony D'Angelo with his fictional, legitimate business, not a criminal enterprise. I don't know who you've been talking to.
I'm liking Adrian Rizzo. I think she's great. She's in her great role.
She's phenomenal. Love what she's doing. Love what Sax is doing. Love Luca Crisafino.
Yeah, he's a fit, huh? He fit right in there. Smooth as silk and off and running from day one.
I mean, we'll talk about this when we get the prediction, but I think we're about to see a very fun era of NXT. Because these Tony D'Angelo vignettes, these storylines. I mean, look, NXT is television. It's why it's the most entertaining wrestling show on TV. Yes, they put on great matches, but this is episodic TV at its finest. And I'm not getting this from any other wrestling show on a week in, a week out basis.
From day one of NXT 2.0, though, Tony D'Angelo and many others were these over-the-top new characters, right? Mm-hmm. But he's stood the test of time.
Yeah.
You know, not too many alterations. In fact, as the article that George referenced says, as Shawn Michaels said, he's dug in even deeper, as evidenced by tonight's sit down and dinner that we'll get to later, I'm sure.
I love Tony D'Angelo from the beginning, but the moment for me when I just said, oh, this is my wrestling soulmate, is when he palmed the ref some bills and said, get yourself a little something nice. But, you know, same with Chase U. I mean, Chase U has been exactly the same since they went in. They've taken that in directions that no one could have foreseen.
That was one that I didn't think was going to last, quite frankly. And I saw Andre Chase wrestle live recently and once again thought to myself, how does this guy do this in a sweater? But above, I'm down here in Florida, it's hot. You know,
sweater and swamps don't really go together. But now if we can just bring back Duke Hudson's poker room, I think we'll have the true the trifecta of promise of NXT 2.0. But we got a lot to dive into tonight. A lot to talk about. Welcome to the chat, Baby Ice Killer Demon, Spencer Webb, Cody's Crybabies, Alicia A. So good to see you all. Beer Money. It's nice to have the family back together this evening to talk about NXT 2.0. We opened with a triple threat for a chance at the NXT tag team titles to Stand and Deliver. The OC versus the LWO versus Nathan Frazier and Axiom. Banger of a match, NXT chance throughout. John, to you first. What did you think of this match?
I think the outcome is probably what we needed to see and what was the best outcome for all. You've got the LWO being there, made me wonder if Legado del Fantasma might make an appearance and interfere. That didn't happen, obviously. This is a chance for a shot at Stand and Deliver. They don't necessarily need that. They'll probably be involved in some way in the tag team match featuring Santos, Escobar, and Rey Mysterio, Dominic, and Dragon Lee. And then the OC, you know, I don't know what they're going to be doing at Mania. If anything, maybe they're in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal on Friday. I'm not sure. But the veterans in there, you know, to help put together a solid match to open the show. And again, I think we got the right outcome. Axiom and Nathan Frazier have put in the work. And I very much enjoy the trippiness of their entrance.
Yes. George, your thoughts?
I need a name for them. If they're going to be a tag team, I need them to have a name.
Not a portmanteau, please. Yes, thank you.
Don't combine the names. Give me something creative, and don't have the word catch in it either. But yeah, everything that you guys said. I mean, this match was everything that it needed to be. It started off hot. Obviously, you have, you know, Gallows and Anderson to balance out the speed and the quickness of everyone else. And like you said, I'm really excited to see this match on Saturday because I really think it's going to be time for Axiom and Nathan Frazier to move on to the next level, and let's see what Baron Corbin's going to do too. I'm really hoping that something new will come up for him, whether it's back to the main roster, whether it's back to maybe helping to put somebody else over, assuming that they lose on Saturday, because we know Braun Breaker's already kind of called up. But yeah, either way, I'm excited for this match on Saturday.
Okay, I consulted my writing partner for this, and what about Dynamic Fusion for a name? I think it's spelled with a Z. Some alternates, the Calculated Combo.
What about Aerial Fusion?
Oh, Aerial Fusion. I like that. Ooh. I like that. The Number Crunchers.
I'll pass on that one.
Yeah. The Algebraic Allies. I think I thought Axiom promised us originally he was going to teach us geometry. So I think there could be a really good, maybe like
the algorithms.
There you go. I like that.
No, but then that's a play on the word rhythm. You gotta be able to dance. Dancing duo.
Yes. So here's my issue. I hear you loud and clear, George, that Braun Breaker's being called up. The Wolf Dogs, while they seem unstoppable as a force, they have to get those titles off of them if they're going to do something on the main roster. And you know what? Wouldn't be surprised. I think Baron and Braun are... well, absolutely delightful together. I would love to see them continue on the main roster. I know it's rumored they're going to AEW, but if the Motor City Machine Guns showed up and caused a distraction,
the War Dogs. I'm like, what?
No,
that's awesome.
No, because I just don't see a world where it makes sense that you want to give Braun this epic send off, and it's like Axiom and Frazier are workhorses, but I don't know, man. Like maybe Braun and Baron get into it and that leads to a main roster feud. And that's how they disintegrate. But I Motor City Machine Gun, there's got to be some sort of realistic. You got to sell me a little bit on the idea of Frazier and Axiom win this clean.
My first thought for how they transition the titles off of these guys was exactly what you said there. One guy costs the team the match and the other guy gets mad, and we know Braun's already going up to SmackDown, and maybe Baron follows behind, and that's their first feud. I don't know that that's what happens here, but you just maybe think too, whether it's an incoming team, Motor City Machine Guns or whomever else, or another main roster tag team that costs them the titles at Stand and Deliver, and then maybe that's their first feud. Corbin goes back up as well. I don't know, but something's got to give here soon enough.
Yeah, tell the story. Sell me on it. NXT. So of course Braun and Baron came out. They did a stare down with them after. Then this is interesting. JC Jane took on Fallon Henley tonight. JC getting the win. Later, because of what's going on with Thea and JC and this very long-term story they've told with them, Thea wants a match with JC. Ava says stand and deliver, but aha, it's a six-woman tag. George, to you first. I understand they want to get more women on the WrestleMania card for on the stand and deliver card for WrestleMania weekend. I understand that. But does it feel a little like it dilutes this really multi-month, I think, what, like 6 months now arc with JC and Thea to have these other competitors in the match? So it's going to be Thea Hale, Fallon Henley, and Kalani Jordan versus JC Jane, Kiana James, and Izzy Dame. Does it feel like it's almost too much in this match now?
I do see where you're coming from as far as, should it just be a straight up one-on-one match? I know one of the biggest things that we're seeing a lot of talk now is WrestleMania should have a non-title women's one-on-one match just to kind of show the next step of the evolution. And obviously nobody can disagree, unless you guys do, that NXT is a little bit ahead of the curve as far as women's wrestling and, absolutely, you know, getting a lot of people involved. And they had many, many times before a nice one-on-one match that wasn't for a championship, whether it's Tegan Nox versus Dakota Kai 4 years ago, or obviously we've seen it a lot more throughout the years. I just think it's, you know, trying to get as many people involved as they can. We saw it on SmackDown with, you know, Damage Control against Naomi, Bianca, and Jade. I mean, does it make sense? Like, I'm not hating on it. I do kind of see maybe they have to have the one match blow off as far as Thea and JC. We'll see it, just not a stand and deliver. But so I'm not hating on it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the obvious way, like you said, to get more talents involved on the biggest card of the year for the brand. However, I almost feel like it's a little rushed in a way and jammed together. Obviously, it's the go home show, right? And I don't know if this will ultimately be the blow off. They, you know, up and down WWE, they don't seem too interested in rushing through things anymore, right? And, you know, take their time, let it continue past stand and deliver, perhaps, at least with Thea and JC. The one other thing that I noted was JC Jane made mention of saving Chase U, creating the calendar,
yeah,
all of that to be to get back to being the main attraction. She's got a lot of the same mannerisms, the same entrance almost that she had when she was with Toxic Attraction. I almost said Fatal Attraction. It goes way back there. You know, maybe someday, and it's WrestleMania season, right? So we're all speculating irresponsibly. Maybe what she needs at some point is a returning Mandy Rose to set her back in order.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, but God, I hope that happens.
Sorry to get your hopes up there, George.
Oh, my God. She was so great. She was so great.
I was last night saw on Twitter she had a new episode of her podcast out that she does with, what's his face? Tino Savage.
Tino. Yeah.
Yes. And so my wife and I had to talk again about how being at WrestleMania Access in 2016 and Tino Sabatelli could not have been less interested in meeting anyone. Like, I've had nothing but positive experiences meeting wrestlers except Tino.
Oh, wow. Just
did not care.
There is no lack of confidence on that podcast, by the way, if you ever tune in.
No, I don't think I can make it through an entire episode or even 5 minutes of an episode. But no, I think to your point, though, yes, I'm glad there's more going on with this, but I do feel like and I made this prediction on this podcast. I feel like with JC and Thea, if they'd leaned more into their one-on-one conflict, you could have really had a next generation version of Bayley Sasha to take over. And I'm not saying they're at that same point in their careers yet. This is more developmental now than it was before, but I do feel like it's cluttered up the storyline involving all these other characters when clearly Thea and JC had a very, very good break in their friendship and a good conflict. And I don't know. It doesn't feel as personal now.
Do you think Thea can like hold it on her own? And this is no disrespect. I just feel like she needs the the backup around her, whether it was with JC Jane, whether it was with Chase Yu. Now she's obviously got Fallon and Kalani. I feel like I just don't think she's ready for that solo spotlight just yet.
I don't know. I mean, maybe not, but I don't think they've done her any favors because mm-hmm. she actually hasn't gotten to wrestle very much on TV. I don't know about house shows, mm-hmm. but it's actually kind of remarkable how few match opportunities she's been given in NXT when she's been kind of a main character mm-hmm. of the show. So, and I also think, can you truly be an underdog if you have a crew, if you have a posse? Daniel LaRusa, Mr. Miyagi was his own, Mr. Miyagi and his mom, and Allie. And Allie barely talked to him for half the movie. You know?
Well, and the bond with those two for Daniel was much stronger, one could argue, than this thrown together group of quote unquote very close friends now going to battle on their respective sides of this six woman tag match, right? It's not as though they all go back a long way, but you know, we can forgive that, I suppose.
Well, Fallon and Kiana have history.
Sure. Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm excited that this is happening, but I just had a very high expectation. I worked myself into a shoot, basically, is what I'm saying with my high expectation for this match. It'll still be great, though, I'm sure. But no, I agree with you, George. I think this is the challenge sometimes of where NXT does so well at like when it's perfect, it's when you have 5-star matches and great storylines. Sometimes it's a little off balance. Some performers are excellent in the ring, not so good at character work. Others are great at character work. They haven't developed their ring skills as much yet. So we'll see. I'm still looking forward to the match, but yeah, I'm very surprised it's going to be a 6-woman tag.
Wonder where that match falls on the card ultimately too. I wonder if it might kick things off actually now that I look at the whole card real quick, but just thought out loud.
Yeah, no, we'll see. So Lexus King took on Von Wagner again. Lexus King won.
Sure did, but we all lost because for the first time, I noticed that Lexus King's beard was a little off in the middle. I hope it was the angle. I hope he didn't switch barbers. A little off in the middle. He got the win nonetheless. You know, I wrote down that I wanted to bring up to you guys. Are we, you know, he doesn't have a spot on the stand and deliver card. And I know he's relatively new to the brand, but a name with legacy coming in. And, you know, they gave him a big presentation before he debuted, packages and whatnot. Is it a disappointment that he's not on this card, that he didn't find his way at some point, not hosting, not anything? I'm sure maybe he'll make an appearance. Not sure.
But who, I mean, is there somebody to blame? Are we pointing the finger at someone specific? Is it WWE? Is it NXT? Is it Sean? Is it Brian? Is it, you know, Lexus? I mean, is he working? Is he like the hottest star on the brand that deserves to have a spot on the card?
I really don't know. I don't know how others feel about it. You know, I think there's a contingency of fans that aren't super high on him. Right. I'm not necessarily one of them. I think there's some improvements that have been made since he's come over to this brand. Probably still has a way to go, and maybe not being a part of this card, not catching, you know, enough fire to be included might be an indication of that.
Yeah. It is interesting how hot he started, you know, and then where he is now. He's still getting TV time, but it's interesting because I think that his TV work has been great and his matches have been very good as well. It's kind of like one of those stacked seasons of SNL. They just have so much talent that it's harder and harder to get prime spots.
What season of SNL?
Okay. If we want to go really stacked, let's talk like the Dana. Let's talk about what happened when Chris Rock joined the show, when it was Dana Carvey, Phil Hartman, Mike Myers. Like Chris had a hard time getting mm-hmm. airtime.
So did David Spade.
Yeah. See? So Lexus King is the David Spade of NXT, is what I'm saying.
Which means he's going to have a great run in about a few years when people start leaving.
Yeah. But no,
Joe Dirt 5 starring Lexus King.
He just needs his regular character, the annoyed receptionist, and I think it'll all take off.
Bubba.
Yes, I'm going to resist the urge to map this out and figure out who is who of SNL casts and who's the Rob Schneider of NXT. But that's for another podcast.
That's Mr. Stone. I got it.
Mr. Stone's Rob Schneider. He's got that making copies bit and nothing else. So Bull of Vice took on Carmen Petrovic with Natalya. Good to see Carmen get some real TV time aside from Level Up, but man, they are hot on Lola Vice right now.
She looks like a GTA character.
Yeah.
Carmen coming in hot with the sword, never going to get the chance to use it. That's my problem with swords and wrestling. But
I know.
You know, unless you're going to chop a ring rope in half like Drew McIntyre did at one point, I believe. Interesting to see Natalya there paired up with Carmen. I'm not sure where that's headed down the road. I thought for a minute there Carmen was going to win this match. But like you said, they're very hot on Lola Vice, obviously. And, you know, good to see, like, echo your thoughts, Glenn. Good to see Carmen Petrovic get some TV time in the ring.
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
I just want to applaud and commend, because Lola Vice's sharpshooter was absolutely a thing of beauty. Like, she did it better than a lot of people who normally use. She did it, certainly did better than whenever time The Rock would do a sharpshooter. Like, it just, I don't know what it is, the legs or whatever it was. It just looked like a thing of beauty, like one of the top sharpshooters I've ever seen done.
Yeah. No, this was good. I think Lola is going to maybe. It's interesting, though. If Roxanne wins the women's title again, they have to keep it on her for a while. Mm-hmm. So I feel the Lola Vice is getting the strongest push of any woman right now. She seems like the next number one contender.
If so, that would mean that she overcame the unsuccessful cash-in.
Yeah.
Not a story trope that I enjoy all too often, but and it, you know, it doesn't seem to have hurt her at all.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about our prediction for that women's match after. So we got a series of vignettes tonight. With Dragunov, I believe the D'Angelo family booted his car, gave him a ride to his last supper with Tony D. And Tony D'Angelo looking quite menacing tonight with all the members of the family. I like just the guy with the saw just randomly cutting a board, just cutting wood, just in a menacing fashion, looking at Dragunov.
And I noted that he was not being very safe, because when you're using a table saw like that, you need to maintain eye contact on the task at hand. And he had his eyes over here with no gloves on, no protection, bothered me a little.
Oh, but you know what, though? High-end level saws now, don't they have moisture sensors that, like, shut down?
I come from the generation where I had a shop teacher who was trying to teach us how to do these types of things, and he didn't have a thumb. So
I was going to say, you know, you had a legit shop teacher if they were missing a digit, you know?
That's the truth.
Yeah. But George, what do you think of these vignettes and the character work that Tony D'Angelo displayed tonight?
I'm a very hit or miss, like, kind of, I know it sounds like a cop out, but I am all for suspending my disbelief, right? This is pro wrestling. I'm not too good. I'm not too good for this business. But sometimes I just kind of always question, like it's a little too movie in some ways. With that said, I enjoy what I'm seeing, but it just not being able to eliminate that from my mind is in terms of, like, are they not supposed to be? Are we acknowledging that there's cameras around? You know, little things like that I'm just annoying myself on a regular basis. But I mean, for the most part, I always like these. These are always fun because they're supposed to be hokey. Like, you know, obviously Tony, like you said, Tony D'Angelo isn't putting hits on anybody that we know of. So I mean, it's always fun. I mean, this adds on to the mystique of Tony, but also as Ilya as well, because Ilya is going to. I mean, we'll talk about predictions, but I feel like we're gonna see Ilya bring out the best of Tony D'Angelo in so many ways.
Yeah.
Well, I would think that he would still be upset as well, because Tony gave him one heck of a hand grip there. He was he was selling that quite a bit. Two other things bothered me. One, they made a big deal out of the dinner, the last supper that he was presented with, but they didn't open it. And I wanted to know what he was served. And did he even stick around to eat it? I'm not sure. You know, can you be trusted?
Questions. So after that, The Metaphor hosted Lyra Valkyria and Roxanne Perez on the Supernova sessions tonight. And, you know, what'd you think? What'd you think of this, George?
I mean, anytime I can hear Noam Dar talk, he's got like just the best tone and accent and just everything all together. Just the whole like Roxanne Perez, just kind of chilling out there. Yeah, I mean, it was what it was. I mean, we saw a little fire in Lyra. I know she comes across as kind of a innocent, goody girl, you know, fight hard kind of mentality. So it is kind of seeing her a little bit of edge. I'm digging the Roxanne heel turn. I think she's playing it off really well. I always wondered if she was going to be able to pull it off when she first turned to the dark side. And I feel like she's doing a really good job.
Yeah,
I'm surprised in a way that I'm taking Roxanne as a heel as seriously as I am. And that's a credit to her. Mm-hmm. I think she's performing it quite well. She has composure at the same time as having the right level of intensity, I think, in what she's saying. Mm-hmm. One thing I didn't like, I don't like this old, you know, going back to the well and seemingly heightening the intensity of a feud just by dropping the word bitch, you know, I mean,
yeah.
it's a cop out, I think, sometimes, but we overcame that because we had a spot to end that segment that we haven't seen too many times since the days of maybe Little Beaver himself at the little table spot, the miniature table spot. And it worked. It was cool. I didn't expect that because it's not a traditional table. It's very small. A bunch of candy went out everywhere. That's a shame. I think it was candy. Who knows? But overall, the segment worked. I'm digging Roxanne as a heel. And, you know, I guess I won't get to my prediction now. I'll save that. Never mind.
Yeah. this was good. I thought it was interesting, though, Lyra and Tatum. Like, I feel like Tatum's really dialed it back, you know, in the last month or so.
Yeah, I do feel like we haven't seen, ever since they lost in the tag team championship match, I feel like we've seen a little less kind of the psychoness come out. And I thought that was a cool little element. Maybe they're kind of saving that, maybe putting that as a backseat for maybe she's going to be the reason why Lyra loses on Saturday. Who knows? But yeah, I kind of forgot about that until she came back into the fold.
Because that was great TV, and I think that's a great story. Win or lose, that is a great next feud for Lyra that just makes all the sense in the world, given everything that's happened. So Obafemi was going to face Joe Gacy tonight, and he kind of did. But first, Sean Spears beat the crap out of him. And then Gacy couldn't continue after starting the match, so... Yeah, no contest. Obafemi getting the win.
It's just something to build up for their match. I think they announced that it was going to be on the kickoff show. Joe Gacy against Sean Spears, which should be fun. I mean, Sean Spears is doing his thing since he's come back and, you know, living up to the chairman gimmick.
Yeah, the chairman's going to wield a chair, right?
Shout out to La Parca.
I will say that they got me. I thought for a minute that Joe Gacy hit his head there, and the crowd seemed to got as well, as they say. They were dead quiet there for a minute, but of course Gacy popped up in awkward fashion later, and now we have this match for the kickoff show, which means those of us that are covering said stand and deliver card have to get to work a little bit earlier. But hey, it's all good. I enjoy me some Sean Spears.
Well, and the theory online about him hitting his head and not being able to continue is that the bit with Ava was taped beforehand. That he might. So we'll pay attention to see what happens and how that affects things. But I like that they don't call out him and Ava's shared history, but clearly, like, she's like, fine, you'll get a match. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, but she has a clear soft spot for him.
Yeah, she caved pretty quickly there.
Yeah, it's fun. So this is interesting. Gigi Dolin. I missed last week, and I saw people saying Gigi Dolin wasn't going to be on tonight. So I was like, oh, they must have had a great segment last week of Gigi Dolin getting her My Fair Lady style etiquette lessons and makeover. And then that did not happen last week. So I wonder if it's Stand and Deliver or the NXT after we're going to get the debut of the new and improved Gigi Dolin.
I was wondering that myself. The absence was noticed for sure for me. She's got to work her way back in at some point, and that has to be paid off, right? Can't tease it and not pay it off.
I'm excited to see the re-debut of Georgina Dolan.
Yes. Well, so instead we had Ren Sinclair versus Ariana Grace tonight, because Ren was saying Gigi was fine as is. Now Ariana didn't take kind to that, so Ariana Grace beat up Ren Sinclair in the ring tonight.
I'm a big Ariana Grace fan. I don't know what it is. Is it the facials? Is it just the mannerisms? She obviously has got the genes for it, right? As far as the, you know, kind of adding in that comedic element, as far as, you know, a lot of the facial reactions. But I'm all in on this woman. Like, I love her gimmick. I love everything about her. I think this girl is going to be a huge star.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is the perfect meeting, right? Of phenomenal ring work and phenomenal character work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely agree with both of you guys. I wanted to bring that up too. Facials, the way she sold those chops, fantastic. She's got the personality. She's got the skill, the pedigree, like you mentioned. I don't know down the road if it's going to be the comedy that really works for her in the end. I think that can be a touch. And she can always, you know, transition back to that and whatnot. I think she's got plenty in the arsenal to, you know, to use that sparingly, which some, you know, makes it better, you know, to use it here and there rather than all the time. This character is working, don't get me wrong, but I think there are bigger and better things for her on the horizon.
She reminds me of Chelsea Green, not in the terms of character, but in terms of maximizing whatever seconds you have on camera, where every little bit, she's not just standing there, you know, reacting, or she's not just standing there with something, with nothing on her face. She's standing there reacting, doing something, anything, whether it's, you know, a mocking, you know, thumbs up at the end of the match. It just, she's always doing something. It's those little things that really think that I think is going to really take her to the next level.
She's like a mix of Chelsea Green and Lacey Evans 1.0.
The sassy Southern Belle.
Well, but no, but the idea that she's better than everyone, she's trying to class up, you know, NXT. I think it's working. I think it's working really well. And I like it. I think it's a very original gimmick that is working wonders in NXT. We had, God, two women's matches back to back. Then Blair Davenport versus Sol Ruka tonight.
Yeah, and a parallel there for me between bona fide stars in the making and Ariana and Sol Ruka.
Yeah,
I can't say enough about her athleticism and the body control she has already, the flips, that cartwheel clothesline or cartwheel DDT off the ropes in the corner is a sight to behold. She's got it all. And I can't wait to see what big things are in store for her down the road as well.
I like that they brought in that DDT. We had somebody else previously in NXT use that move. That's not there anymore. And, you know, this was always a very impressive move to have. So I like that she added that to her arsenal. But yeah, Sol Ruka is another one that a couple years, bro, like WrestleMania 50. Who knows? I'm already thinking ahead.
I think Blair Davenport is very interesting that she was gifted like one of the best storylines ever in NXT is being the parking lot attacker behind taking out so many female competitors. And who knows, maybe male competitors as well. Maybe it's been her all along. Maybe she's the reason Samoa Joe said they needed better security at NXT. I'm a little amazed that she hasn't gotten over more as a villain. I think Nikita Lyons getting injured probably didn't help because it derailed that storyline. But yeah, it's I think with Blair, it's just not quite firing yet. But Sol, though, is absolutely a superstar.
She could always go back to the parking lot, you know, instead of back to the drawing board, go back to what was working for you and, you know, we'll retell that mystery, right? It's her again, and we're the ones who were fooled.
Yeah. Good match though. Good on Sol. I think man, they need, this is the problem without having NXT Women's Tag Team Championships. This is the problem without having a mid-level title. Like, I just think they need, I mean, it's great that they're putting on matches and storylines, but man, I think one more opportunity for stature or status in NXT wouldn't be a bad thing for the women right now. Then we had Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes confront one another in the ring. And I have to say, I've been all in on Trick Williams, but Carmelo Hayes, when he started talking about it, it's like they both lost their girlfriends and then Trick went after Carmelo's. I was like, you know what? Carmelo Hayes is making a whole lot of sense as to why he's been so upset at Trick this time.
I get what he was saying, but it's not really the best analogy, just because like everybody should be going after that one girlfriend if that's the case, right? Like as soon as there's an opportunity, like, you know, like, I don't want to make it seem like everybody gets a turn, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, you know, I get what he was saying, but they both make a lot of sense. Obviously, what makes Carmelo a heel is, you know, turning on is one of his best friends. And yeah, but yeah, I'm all in on Trick Williams. I think that plays. I cannot wait to see the reaction that Philly is going to have for Trick Williams.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be amazing. There was a little bit of another level to Trick's character, almost a little bit tonight, getting a little emotional about the breakup of the two best friends, right? But also getting right back down to business and saying he's, you know, the crowd's going to yell whoop that Trick, and he's gonna get to whooping Carmelo, right? The SWAT team security that Carmelo has, I think, is showing some insecurities, and it'll be interesting if they accompany him at Stand Deliver. I would imagine not, but yeah, I can't wait to see this one. It's been a long time in the making. I have to think at this point, you know, Carmelo's ready for the main roster. But again, like I said earlier, we, you know, they take their time with this stuff now, and you never know.
And rumor has it Trick and Carmelo might continue this feud onto the main roster, given the reaction. I mean, Trick's main roster reaction, and again, I love Carmelo, but Trick's main roster reaction was like, just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So this is interesting. We could show a video on here, right? We could show a social media video on here. I don't think we're going to get a takedown for that, but NXT Anonymous posted something after NXT went off the air.
Hmm.
Ooh. With a potential teaser for Stand and Deliver. So I want to talk about this. Let me present this here on the camera. I know. I just saw this on Anonymous. Okay. So let's play this here. Let me unmute this tab. Let me full screen that and let's go.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm so excited that you're going to be joining us on the Countdown Show on Saturday. I know everyone is going to be so excited to see you. Of course, you're always going to be a part of the NXT family.
Ooh.
Okay. Okay, great. Awesome. I will see you on Saturday. All right, bye.
Ooh. A surprise on the Countdown Show.
Hmm.
Who could it be?
Speculation begin.
Yes. I mean, let's not forget when CM Punk showed up. Just cause at the beginning of a recent NXT PLE, you know,
always a part of the NXT family. Let the speculation begin. That means you can go back to just about day one, right?
Big E with the five count.
Enzo Amore.
Oh, that'd be awesome. It's got to be somebody that like hasn't been advertised. I mean, it doesn't have to be, but I think it has to be somebody that isn't really advertised for anything else for WrestleMania. So I don't think he's on the main Raw. I don't think he's going to be on WrestleMania cards. I don't think he's going to be like Gargano or Ciampa or anybody. And if it was Enzo, it'd be dope.
Any free agents out there unaccounted for that we should speculate irresponsibly on?
Holy moly.
I will say this. Now that Triple H is in charge, the chances of Enzo coming back, like, and I stand by this. I've said this for years. If he hadn't done that Survivor Series stunt, he would have been back in WWE probably within a year if he hadn't done that. But to hear him talk about it, he doesn't want to come back. So
he's still working, right?
Yeah, he was doing MLW. He's doing indie dates. You know, I don't know, but it's interesting. It's interesting that it's like everybody agrees that would be a good piece of business. I think except Triple H wants nothing to do with that.
I was totally kidding for the record, but
yeah, no, sorry. Recurrent thing. I feel like ever since, you know, for the past like 3 years, it just keeps coming up where it's like, could it maybe? And no, it's probably not happening now. So let's run down the NXT card. We'll see. I think it could be Big E because he's doing the Mania pre-show. Why not do NXT? But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Man, NXT Anonymous. Getting those scoops.
What if it's like Bo Dallas?
Oh, that would be really nice, actually.
Yeah, Mandy Nelly Rose. Belly. Somebody in the chat said Mandy Rose. Belly
says Mandy Rose. I don't think it's going to be Mandy Rose.
That's my fault.
Also, like, sorry, every time I think of NXT Anonymous, I'm like, man, did they drop the ball with Stevie Turner or what?
Is she hurt or where is she at?
Oh, she was on Level Up like a month ago.
Oh, I like that gimmick.
It was great with the streaming, and she's really a good wrestler, good character work, good look. Like, I don't get it, man. I don't understand.
Can I tell you like a real quick goal of mine in life is I've always wanted to be like a radio DJ or somebody who, you know, station programmer, whoever chooses the songs, right? And I always wanted to like throw in like a Lola Vice theme song just to kind of expose it to like the non-wrestling fans. Sure. 'Cause I just want to know what they think of it. I just want to know like, hey, here's a upcoming song. Let me know what you think. And then like, I don't know. I'm not saying it's a banger, but I've always been curious about a song like that, that kind of has that salsa feel, you know, that Latin flavor.
Hey, it works for like, Fandango.
Yeah. And I just want to see like, what do you guys think of this song? What do you, let me hear your thoughts. That's it.
I feel you. Makes sense to me. We haven't had a wrestling theme. Actually, it's interesting. Has a wrestling theme charted? It's much easier to chart now than it used to be.
I mean, not like a wrestling exclusive theme, but obviously maybe like a cult of personality that I'm sure got a huge boost after Survivor Series, things like that. But as far as a CFO or a Def Rebel song, I don't think so.
How about John Cena's first album? Did
I was going to say, that's probably the one that I think is the highest charting. Probably the highest charting release by a wrestler ever. Maybe not the biggest selling, but it's got to be the highest charting.
Where was Macho Man's album, his rap album? Where did that chart at?
It was called Be a Man.
Yes. And let's not forget Hulk Hogan sold 10 million records after. Okay. Oh man, are we at the 40th anniversary of the wrestling album yet?
When's 85? I think it was 85.
Okay, we're coming up.
Right?
It's coming up. They should redo Land of a Thousand Dances with the current WWE roster.
I've always thought they should do If They Only Knew with the current WWE roster.
Mm. Something.
Oh yeah, that's some cringe YouTubing right there. If you've never seen that, it's
just, on this bad boy.
Look at that. Look at that.
Oh, fantastic. Yes.
Look at that.
Okay, let's walk through the Stand and Deliver card. Stand and Deliver starting early, 11:30 a.m. Eastern time, Saturday morning. I might still be awake from the night before. We'll see what happens. Okay, so Sean Spears versus Joe Gacy in a singles match. The chairman versus... Does Joe Gacy have a nickname? He needs one.
He does. I just don't know what. Are
we giving it to him right now?
Yeah. I mean, you even call him Crazy Joe Gacy. It sounds like Crazy Joe. Crazy Joe is a great name. You know? And then you could change it later and say they used to call me Crazy Joe. Now they call me Batman.
Ooh, Psycho Joe.
Deep cut for 80s kids there. Okay. So who do you got, George? Joe Gacy versus the chairman.
I'm going to go with the chairman. I know a lot of people have a mentality of they're going to bring in this veteran just to kind of put over some of the young talent, but it can't always be predictable like that. I feel like they're going to give it to Sean Spears on this one.
John?
I concur. I think Spears gets the win. I also think Joe Gacy, with the character he currently portrays, doesn't necessarily need to win, and he can keep on rolling, doing his wild and crazy stuff just fine.
I think Joe Gacy is going to lose, but in an epic way where he just keeps telling Sean to like keep hitting him again and again and again. I think Joe Gacy is going to have the most enthusiastic loss we've seen in quite some time. And he will snap even further. What about Thea Hale, Fallon Henley, and Kalani Jordan versus JC Jane, Kiana James, and Izzy Dame in a 6-woman tag team match? John, who pins and who takes the pin?
I see JC Jane coming out on top here, pinning someone from the other side, but Thea Hale is angry about this, furthering that feud on, as we said, well past Stand and Deliver, but a showcase for all six of these ladies, and they all work wonderfully and make the most of their opportunity. That is my prediction.
George?
I feel like we're going to see Kalani Jordan shine like she's never shown before, but I do feel like JC Jane's going to pin Thea Hale, furthering that feud, culminating into the epic one-on-one match that we, that you specifically, Glenn, need to see.
I need, and I prefer it to be a battleground if that takes place in Las Vegas, because I'll be there. That'd be great.
Maybe I'll go too in that case.
I didn't answer the second part of that prediction. I'm going to say that Fallon Henley takes the pin there, just randomly.
Yeah, I, you know, now that you guys say that, I will be disappointed if this ends with Thea pinning JC.
Can't end like that.
No. Nah, not triumphant enough. So, let's see. Next up, Obafemi defends the North American Championship against Dijak and Josh Briggs.
George, I think I saw some rumors that like Oba maybe might be main roster bound. I don't think so. I'm not saying he's not ready. Again, I don't believe it. But I think that we're gonna see this Obafemi reign last a while. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's gonna, as Roman would say, he's gonna stack some bodies, and Oba's gonna dominate this match.
I agree. Even if he is main roster bound, we've seen before that with the North American Championship, you don't necessarily have to lose it to go up. Solo Sikoa did that and then relinquished. And then we had a tournament. Tournaments are always fun, but this guy's a monster. I'd love to see Dijak with that title that he's been chasing way back to the Keith Lee days. Speaking of a wonderful time, those guys together were magical. But this is Obafemi all the way to me.
Man, I would like to see Gacy and Dijak form a tag team.
I thought that was coming after their feud. I really did.
Still could after this.
They could be called Jojak.
Jojak. So, Lyra Valkyria versus Roxanne Perez for the NXT Women's Championship. John, who do you got?
We have heard too much about the championship that she never lost. Lyra's had a great run. She's been a good champion. She's established herself on this brand. I think Roxanne comes away with the title. I think she has a lengthy run, like we alluded to before. And I think she has the opportunity to entertain a series of new contenders for this belt.
George?
I feel like we got to disagree at some point. It's just not going to be for this one. I do think that this heel turn has brought a new life for Roxanne Perez. I think she was a great babyface. I think she's going to be even better heel. I think she's going to take this one all the way, and she's going to keep it until maybe even the CW debut. I think it's going to be a nice lengthy reign for heel Roxanne.
Wow. I care about Lyra and Tatum. In my mind, that's the story that I really want to see.
I think Tatum cost Lyra the championship.
Yeah.
That could play a factor, certainly. That was a great point earlier, Glenn. I think, again, I was talking about you can't tease things and not pay them off. We haven't gotten a lot of attention paid to that element of this duo lately. And they're teased tonight. And so maybe that's a factor here.
So Dragunov versus Tony D'Angelo for the NXT championship.
Is that me?
Whoever wants to go first.
I'm debating on this one. And by the way, Wrestling Inc. fans, we do predictions for all of the PLEs and pay-per-views for WWE, NXT, and AEW. I may change my pick on this one before we submit them, so please don't hold that against me, anybody that's paying attention. Right now, I'm going with Tony D. It's his time. It's his time, Glenn. Get excited. You've been a fan since day one. You can't deny the family. It's Tony D time. Let's go.
George,
with everything that's been building up, I honestly think there's no way that Ilya is going to lose the championship. I think the stacks are against him. I think we're going to see a side of Ilya come out that we saw that we didn't see against a Gunther, against a Trick, against a Carmelo. We're going to see a complete monster come out of Ilya Dragunov. I think it's not Tony's time yet. I think Dragunov is still going to be champion.
Tony has been like the low-key star of NXT for the last year.
I feel like he doesn't. I mean, I'm not here to say like he needs a belt or he doesn't need the belt, but I think
he doesn't need it.
He doesn't need it.
He's the Don NXT.
Yeah. So I feel like he's still a made man, no pun intended. Whether or not he wins or loses, I think there's a lot for him to do. And not to say that Ilya isn't, but I feel like there's. I don't think there's like a solidified face or heel for a Tony for him to be so focused on. Like, I don't know. I just feel like he's not, he's like both. He's like a tweener in some ways. And I just don't see that kind of a character win the NXT championship. I feel like it's Ilya's time, and it's going to be his time before now this weekend and going on to the next PLE or whenever he decides to defend it again.
I think there's a lot of stuff at play here. So the question is, if Trick and Mello are going up to the main roster together, that solves that equation about Trick being the one to take it off Dragunov. If Dragunov's going up to the main roster, Tony wins it, and then Trick gets it off Tony, and then Carmelo runs it back with Trick in a couple months. I feel like there are a lot of other factors. I think it could go, I mean, and this is just me being real, I think it could go either way. It just depends on what their larger plans are. But Tony D'Angelo is still going to be the superstar character of NXT. He gets the most involved storylines. He gets TV. I mean, look what happened. They lost the tag titles, and somehow they got more TV time after that. Mm-hmm. You know? They know that he's good for... He makes good television. And the crowd plays along. The worst thing you can have happen with a gimmick is the crowd is not feeling it at all. And I think him and Chase Yu both, like, the crowd loves to participate in that. Probably Chase Yu even more so. But I think with Tony D, yeah, I mean, I hope it happens Saturday, but I don't think there's nothing but great things in that kid's future. He could get called up to the main roster with the fan.
It's interesting because, again, whether Carmelo and Trick get called up together, we'll see what happens. I just feel like there's so much untold stories with Trick and NXT, right? He's going to, I mean, spoiler, I think he's going to beat Carmelo. I know we're going to predict that next, but I feel like he needs to get his win against Ilya back and become NXT champion. I feel like he needs to have his NXT championship run sometime down the road. And I feel like even if Tony wins, I think there's a lack of a story there between Tony and Trick that already exists with Trick and Ilya. So I just feel like if Ilya wins and Trick stays, I feel like that's going to be the next step for Trick to defeat Ilya, the guy that he wasn't able to beat the last time that they had a championship match.
So here's the trickiest scenario, no pun intended. NXT doesn't debut on the CW until October of this year. I'm very worried if all four men stay on NXT and then we're in this stasis pattern where it's just kind of the same, more of the same, right? That they don't want to change too much. NXT works best when it is like SNL. It's actually worse than SNL because it's like you love somebody and then they graduate, then they move on. But I mean, think about Finn Balor's NXT end where they were waiting. They were just waiting till the brand split and the draft to call him up. And he had that weird last feud with Samoa Joe. Like if Finn had gone out 3 months earlier, it would have been an epic run. I think he was there too long. I'm worried about them keeping all four of these guys there too long because they want them for the CW debut.
Yeah, I was talking about the benefits of taking their time these days earlier in the show. And you're right. It's, you know, there's a window there. You got to capture it. And when it passes, sometimes you lose some of that steam. You bring up Finn Balor, and I remember that very clearly. It was almost like, okay, well, you know, and, I love the guy, but.
And I'll go even more recent. Before the Wolf Dogs, Bron Breakker was stale AF for like a year before the Wolf Dogs.
You mean when he was still a babyface or when he turned heel? Because I thought he had a new life when he turned heel.
When he started people through walls.
Fearing the bejesus out of everyone.
Sure. It was better when he started putting people through walls. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of it, though, it was just kind of like saying, I mean, again, he's great when he has someone to play off of. Baron Corbin is the salt, the seasoning that made Braun much more interesting because I felt like as a face and as a heel, he just had one promo in him. It was very dull, you know?
I do feel like there's some excitement behind him with the teases on SmackDown of late. There seems to be a reaction from the crowd, even in the backstage segments. So maybe it's time.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah, it's interesting. This is where NXT is very interesting. There's so many more external factors, you know, that go into play. But okay, so you guys think Trick gets the win?
I don't think there's any world where Carmella wins the match.
I'm glad we disagreed on something, because I go back to agreeing with you there, George. Yes, absolutely.
Bigger upset: Roman Reigns wins or Carmella wins? And this is Philly. People might like garbage on fire and throw it in the ring if Carmella wins.
Biggest upset, as in like more people will be upset?
Yeah, like
Roman all the way.
Same. Yeah.
I heard that reaction Carmella was getting.
I mean, that's Orlando, though.
I know.
Philly will probably burn the city down more than them winning the Super Bowl if Roman wins on Sunday.
But you can't climb the light poles anymore. Don't they grease them up with butter or something? Ooh,
that's awesome.
Sorry, Glenn.
No, it's fine. I like a good upset. I think it will be... I will not be able to do anything but laugh if Roman Reigns wins on Sunday, because that will just be Charlie Brown and the football all over again. And it, in like, I have to laugh to stop from crying at that point.
Like, even if he loses because of an outside factor, Cody being losing, if it's an outside factor, I still don't think it's going to be good. Like if like everybody turns on him, it's not going to be good.
I mean, the best is that Seth turns on Cody and costs him.
Yeah.
I mean, that is storytelling.
But then we go right back to Seth and Cody, which we've already seen three times. And I know. There's just going to be a lot of complaining. And yeah.
They'll be complaining no matter what. It's wrestling.
Of course. Yeah.
Okay, guys. Well, Wrestling Inc. Tomorrow night, AEW. Friday night, SmackDown. I will not be here Friday.
Glenn, did we pick the tag match? Am I crazy?
Oh, sorry. Did I forget the tag match? That's right. Yes. Thank you for reminding me. Where's the tag match? Oh, Baron Corbin and Braun Breaker versus Nathan Frazier and Axiom.
Did we come up with a name for them?
Yeah, no.
I'm going to go with the algorithms for the victory.
Clean or interference?
I mean, who would interfere?
Motor City Machine Guns.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm gonna call the finish right now. Braun's gonna set up a spear. Somebody's gonna move. He's gonna spear Baron Corbin instead. So that's gonna take him out. They take out Braun, and then 450 or whatever high maneuver splash high risk splash that's gonna happen from the top rope. New champions.
I'm gonna go with my gut and say that this is what, you know, causes the main roster elevation of Breaker finally, because they do lose. Corbin doesn't seem to be upset. Breaker debuts on SmackDown. Corbin follows with him. They feud there, and the new NXT tag team champions are a team that I will call the Isosceles Triangles. I don't even have an assistant, Glenn, so forgive
I'm me. Just gonna call them the Mathletes. And yeah, there's good odds they'll be NXT tag team champions come Saturday.
And then Motor City Machine Guns come out at the ramp and point to them saying, hey, I got my eyes on you.
It's supposedly going to NXT or to AEW, but who knows?
Or the show with the crowd. Do they still do the thing where, hey, look who's front row in NXT TakeOver?
They haven't done that.
I was thinking about that. I think it's time for that again. Who's the big signee that they're going to tease in the front row? That was always very exciting. I was there when at NXT TakeOver Orlando when Drew McIntyre was shown back in the fold for the first time, and that got a huge roar out of the crowd. So I'd love to see that come back.
Yeah. Well, there you have it, folks. Tomorrow night, AEW, Friday night, SmackDown. I will not be here. I'm going to see Charo live in concert before WrestleMania weekend. But Hall of Fame looks like it's going to be dope, though. Okay, I'm sure
about Charo for a while.
Dude, we watched so much of The Love Boat last year, and Charo shows up like 8 times on The Love Boat. So,
well, I loved her on Pee Wee's Playhouse.
She still looks great. It looks like $1 million.
I love the comparison, speaking of which, of I didn't even think about that, the Pee-wee's Playhouse to the Firefly Funhouse. Like, yeah. I didn't even catch that until I saw it in the documentary. I'm like, oh, yeah, I dug it. Sorry, times.
Follow George at George at G Hermosa. That's Hermosa with a Z. John is at John Jordan. That's John J-O-N Jordan. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. We will catch you back here, folks, next time on the WrestleMania. Or rather, WrestleMania. It's WrestleMania week. Have a great WrestleMania week. We'll catch you back next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care, everybody. Happy WrestleMania. Bye.